Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, this morning, you may or may not be aware that the church that you're in this morning is affiliated with the Assemblies of God Fellowship. And that is a Pentecostal, full gospel believing fellowship. And maybe you're visiting this morning, or maybe you've been here for a while and you've kind of wondered about those things. You just kind of were looking for a home church and you're here this morning or landed here or checking things out. And you could have been coming here for a while and said, oh yeah, I just go to New Life. I don't know what kind of church it is. I just kind of like it there. And I want you to know that that is a Pentecostal or full gospel fellowship, the Assemblies of God. And along with that, this fellowship of the Assemblies of God tends to maybe be a little more expressive in its style and its worship. And each Assembly of God varies, but we hold to the doctrines, and there seems to be a little bit of a culture that goes with it. And I'm explaining this to you not so that it's in comparison to some other fellowship or denomination. That's not the point. But you are in a place this morning where expression of faith in the Lord is encouraged. It's embraced. It's something that we practice. And yet for those who've come for a long time, when you get familiar with something, it kind of becomes routine. You understand that. That is a battle that we all face as humanity. We're excited, we're maybe expressive about something, and then after a while, you get used to it. It's familiar. It's routine. And sometimes a little bit of the passion leaves us, though our belief, you know, hasn't. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about that, because we can grow used to something, and the expressions of faith that are still good and are appropriate, sometimes they lose a little bit of the passion behind it and the purpose behind it, and we kind of leave that on the shelf. And that is a temptation for all of us. But this morning, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture and actually talked about this passage in a little bit different light. This last Wednesday night, our midweek service, we've been doing a series on prayer. And actually, I didn't speak this last Wednesday night. Marlene did. I did this at Celebrate Recovery. Let me correct myself. It was a Monday night at Celebrate Recovery, which I'd encourage you to check out and be a part of that ministry on Monday night. And I read this passage, and I want us to look at it this morning in Mark chapter 10. And it starts with verse 46. And you've heard me preach probably, if you've been around a while, or teach from this text before, but I want us to look at some things that may have, and I hope would have, an impact on our life personally, but also the atmosphere of God's presence and Spirit when we gather together. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd, say that with me, large crowd. Yeah, large crowd. We're leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Understand that, you know, those who had some disability were, many of them were given license by the governing area to go ahead and have a license to beg. Of course, their license wasn't a piece of paper at this time. It was usually weaved in a fabric, and that was a unique fabric that was made and given to them as a license so they could put their mat down or wear it as a cloak, something like that, that would be a sign, something that is signifiable to the people of the community and leaderships, and so that they would say, oh, this person is licensed to beg. so that they could receive money and people could be benevolent and charitable and help the quality of this person's life. And so that's what's happening here with Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. He was sitting at the roadside begging when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. I'll just say this, when he heard. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Shout at me. Yeah, you can use the word shout because you didn't know whether to go, ah, or whether to just shout. Why don't you just say shout at me?
Shout,
shout at me, yeah, sorry. Yeah, there you go. Large crowd, when he heard, began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus stopped and said, call him. Call that man over. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, and that was, understand, that was very significant. I just gave you a little tidbit a moment ago, that cloak was very important. That was his license to beg. It was weaved into the fabric of what they would call his cloak that gave him income for life. It's interesting that he threw it aside, left it behind when he knew at the point Jesus called him while he was still blind. What an expression of faith. Letting go of a security for the security that we find in God before we know the physical manifestation of the security that we find in God. What a powerful expression of faith. And we can read over this passage and we can miss something like that. We tend to not let go of one thing until we have the next thing confirmed in our grasp. And I understand the practical wisdom of that, but when it comes to spiritual life and leaving behind the old way and what empowers us to continue to live the same instead of progressing in our faith in God, oh, what a lesson from a blind man to let go of it and to put faith in God. That's just a little tidbit. It's not really what we're focusing on this morning. So they called him, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. There's much in this passage that I think the Holy Spirit caused this disciple to remember and to write under the inspiration of the Spirit for us, that we could gather what Jesus is like, understand the power of God, the presence of God, all of those things. But also how humanity needs to reach back to God's availability. Because God makes himself available. Jesus came for a purpose, to redeem us, to forgive us, to restore relationship with God, to help us be more than conquerors through him who loved us, over sin, over situations and circumstances and physical challenges and all the challenges that we face in this life. And so I want us to look at something as we have in recent days been praying and asking and probably experiencing some teaching lessons from the Scripture about what it takes, what does it take for us to be moved by God? And does he find us cooperative? And are we going to reach towards him? Or are we just going to sit nominally and say, well, God knows where I'm at, and if he wants to come and do something, well, I'm here. And here's Bartimaeus. There's a large crowd. There's a lot of people around. Now, Jesus, as you go through the Gospels, you and I know, if we've done any reading about Jesus, we know that it's on all kinds of situations and different scenarios that there were large crowds, small crowds, individuals. But many times it just says large crowds or people gathered. And we know that there's a multiplicity of people that are present when Jesus was going through a town or a village. And here he is in a place that he's arrived with his disciples, and it says a large crowd was with him. I said something this morning to you as visitors and said, you know, if you would just take a moment and fill out that narrow column on the right side of your bulletin, and the purpose is that you can put that in the offering, and that information about you is going to go to our office, and we hang on to it, and we don't sell that information, we don't give it away, any of those things. It is for this purpose, that on a large crowd on Sunday morning here, I may not have the opportunity to meet you personally. I want to be able to drop you a note that is from me that says, thanks so much for being here at New Life. Because there's a multiplicity of people, you and I may not have the opportunity to say hi or connect personally. That's just the reality of a large crowd. Now, if you and I were here alone, you can be guaranteed that I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to say hello to you. I'm going to shake your hand. But in a large crowd, not everybody gets personal attention. You know this in your home. If you are parents of four or more children, you have your own crowd at home. And not everybody gets your attention, even in a small crowd like that, all the time. You try to divvy it up, but you know what? There's times that you just can't, you know, you are one person in one place at one time, and you just, you know, you can't do it. So here's Jesus in bodily form, God in bodily form, and he's walking, and he sees a large, and he's moving along, there's a large crowd, and he's going, and he's passing through. Who's going to get his attention? You know, I wonder, why did this blind man get Jesus' attention? You know, we know that there's crowds in different places where Jesus walked through and walked around, and when they gathered, he would teach and heal them all. But there are those who maybe didn't attend, those who didn't come. There are other times that Jesus walked around, and you know what? There could have been someone lame or sick or corrupt or someone who was lost. And he tried, and you know, he tried and he ministered to people everywhere he went. We know that. But I wonder this, if Bartimaeus would not have cried out, would Jesus would have stopped for him? We'd all like, who are Christians in this room, who are followers of Jesus, we'd like to say, absolutely he would. That's my Jesus. He would never let that happen to somebody. Going by, he's a do-gooder. Those are really cool glasses. They're missing frames on the outside edge. Is that on purpose or did something happen? Okay. They look really good, Travis, and thanks for being here this morning. Like when he's here. We'd like to think, well, of course Jesus is going to stop. Of course Jesus is going to stop and heal this man. The crowd, he could tell that Jesus, he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And the blind man began to cry out, shout out, call out in a loud voice. He was even told to, well, in our vernacular, shut up. And he did not listen. And after calling out more than once, continuing to call out, I don't know how many times it was, Jesus finally said, bring him here. Jesus gave that man an opportunity for faith when he threw his cloak aside. Jesus didn't just walk over to him so that the man could hang on to what he had. He gave him an opportunity of faith to say, you know what? I'm going to leave this cloak and my license behind, and while I am still blind, and left my license back there. And how many of you know corrupt humanity? He drops that license, somebody else is going to grab it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be gone. And he gave him an opportunity of faith. And Bartimaeus took it. See, calling out and crying out is so important, but there has to be an expression of faith that comes to our life that takes us beyond just saying a nice prayer or calling to the Lord. An opportunity of faith. It's for every one of us. It's for this guy right here. But as we gather together as an Assembly of God fellowship, and it's not so much just being an Assembly of God fellowship, it's about being a Christian. Because the kingdom of God is way bigger than just the Assembly of God fellowship, or our fellowship, or just the gathering of people here. The kingdom of God is way bigger than just us. I wonder if the man wouldn't have called out if Jesus would have stopped and said, bring him to me. My guess is, and not the doubting the character, the kindness of God, but Jesus would not have stopped, and that may offend you and bother you. I don't know. But let me tell you why. I believe this. Because I'm real familiar with me, and I'm real familiar with humanity. And I have watched people come and go. I've watched me choose to leave at certain different points in my life where God was present to do something. And because I didn't cry out or I didn't take a step of faith, I left the same. God was there. And I didn't take it. I didn't take the opportunity. I certainly didn't shout out to him. And so I left the same. The key is not just shouting out. The key is that there's an expression of faith. And I'll tell you one of the lessons I want to learn personally from this blind man. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he heard that he was coming by. When will you and I move in faith and live according to what we hear rather than what we see? Romans chapter 10, and there's other places that talk about it, but Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church, the Christians in Rome, and says, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Or how can someone believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them unless someone is sent? When will you and I be moved by what we hear, what we read, what we put into our ears by reading God's word? When will we be moved by what we hear rather than what we see? That's a great lesson of blind Bartimaeus. He heard. That's why I had you say it. He heard. And he moved because he could not see. When will you and I be moved by what God tells us, what we hear, rather than what we see? He shouted out because Jesus was near and he heard. We call ourselves a Pentecostal fellowship or a full gospel fellowship of people who believe in the move of the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural power of God to change the natural laws by which he is not bound. Supernatural. God is Spirit. And he can do things and manifest things in our life that we call miracles. They go beyond natural law. Since he created natural law and he is supernatural, he can supersede them. And he manifests those in our life. We take the bait sometimes of sitting back rather than crying out to God. We sit back and take this bait. God is invisible to my eye. He's invisible. And because I believe that God is everywhere, that I can stay just the way that I am and express myself just the way that I am, And God knows where I'm at. And if he wants to do anything about it, he will. Bartimaeus could have sat on the road and said, oh, I hear Jesus is passing by. I heard that he does miracles. I hear that some say he's the Son of God. Well, if he's the Son of God, and he knows that I'm blind, and he's going by, then I'm right here. I look different even than most of the crowd because I'm over here. I'm sitting down with my license to beg. That proves I have a legitimate need. If we are really hoping for a move of God that is stronger than we've experienced before in our life or when we gather together, then what are we doing so quiet? What are we doing so inexpressive? What are we doing then with such lean expressions of faith? Are we afraid that someone's going to tell us, shut up? Or is our need, our desperation, and our faith going to move us? All I know is that in this large crowd, he may have been the only blind man. But certainly in a large crowd, he wasn't the only one who needed God's help. And who's the one that received the healing? The man who cried out. The man who would continue to cry out. The one who believed. The one who let go of his false sense of security. And his faith healed him. So Jesus says, go. Your faith healed you. And as soon as Jesus said that, it says immediately. Do you know what immediately means in the Greek? It means immediately. I'll give you a moment. That's a long word for you to write down in your notes. Immediately. Right away. He cried out. He's the one that got Jesus' attention. Don't take the bait. God's invisible. God's everywhere. And so I'm right here, whether I'm in the front or the back or whatever, or in the lobby, if you're out there right now, wherever you're at or on the platform, there's still an expression of faith that says, God, I believe in you. God, I want you. I don't care who's here. I'm going to show you that I have faith in you. Not just that you're invisible and you're everywhere, and if you want to do something, go ahead. I want you. I desire you. I'm willing to cry out to you. It doesn't matter what the social parameters are. I am going to cry out to you because I want you here. I need your touch. I need you to change my life. I want to get rid of all the false securities, the things I depended on, which I know are safe to the level at which I've now lived. But you are greater, and you can take me beyond. Show your glory. Do something in my life. And so he cries out. It's interesting to me, because I've watched us take advantage of God's blessing, me included. Because it ends this way, this account. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Say this with me, follow Jesus along the road. He received his healing. And afterwards, he followed Jesus along the road. When we cry out and we show expressions of faith and God comes near and he does something in our life, we're not supposed to just walk away and say, hey, thanks. We're supposed to continue to follow him along the road of our life. That is what it's supposed to produce in us. Not just the physical transformation or the transformation of our need to something that was sick or wrong and now made right by Him. We're continuing to follow Him along the road that we walk, that He walks, that He leads us in life. It's making good on God's grace and favor. We believe in our heart. We are justified by what we say, how we live, what we do. So here we are praying and asking God in this church in recent days, God, we ask for a season for you to come in the sense of spiritual awakening, spiritual renewal, revival, whatever term you want to call it. And you may have some different ideas what that means to you because of your past experience or things you've read. All I know is they all include this powerful move of God that comes in a way that we maybe don't know all the details. And it comes in a way of His presence that is so strong. It comes in a way that we are refreshed. We are breathed upon, as we spoke about last week. We're breathed upon and breath enters us and we're revived. We're not just stuck in routine. We're not just stuck in the old way. But we are pursuing a new move of God, and that we pray, oh God, give us a season here in this church of your presence in one of these ways, or a multiplicity of a renewing, a move of your Spirit in us. Give us a season to taste of it and see of it, so that we would have the opportunity to say yes or to say no to you. Not even praying we say yes. I'm just asking, I'm at the point now in the prayer that God, would you just give us the opportunity? And here is a blind man that I need to learn from. Who learns to cry out. Who learns to shout. Who learns to pursue. Who learns to get Jesus' attention even though there's a large crowd. And that Jesus would call him over and ask him, what can I do for you? An opportunity for a man to leave behind that which he's held on to as if it was a security and let go of. To take hold of what God, he believed God would do, could do, might do. I'll just tell you that a move of God is never really convenient for our life because of this reason. Not to upset us, but we are so wrapped up in our life and shutting God out on so many fronts. Listen, don't think just because you read your Bible every day and you talk to God a little bit every day that everything's okay. Listen, let me give you an example. There are marriages that they talk every day, and they might read each other's notes. That they leave, would you do this and would you do that? And I'm going to add this to your grocery list. It doesn't mean their marriage is okay. Where's the shouting? Where's the crying out? Where's the physical expressions of faith? Well, my faith is personal and I keep it inside. Listen, that's great. But the biblical passage and principle and the progression of faith is that our personal faith somehow leaks out and shows up. Listen, shouting doesn't guarantee God's presence. We could all stand up and shout, and it doesn't guarantee His presence. It's the motivation that's behind it. It's the faith expression. And faith that is quiet, faith that doesn't do anything, James says that it's dead. No works. No fruit, no expression. Just like we know, works don't save us. If we can shout and we can sing the song, you can even come and stand at the front and raise your hands. But if there's no faith behind those actions, then those works don't mean anything either. It's faith and works moving together. It's the faith that God can. It's the faith that God will. It's the faith that I have in Him that causes me to shout out and to believe Him for something greater than myself. Greater than the false sense of security of what I now have that I cling to, that I would never want to leave go of until something great comes along that I can sink my teeth into. Well, God's invisible, and when are we going to move beyond what we see to knowing what's true by what we hear? We're going to go into a time of praise and worship and adoration for the remainder of this time together. And worship team, I want you to come. And you're absolutely right if you're thinking, oh yeah, I got this figured out. He preached early on this, so now we can go into a time of praise and adoration and worship. So now we're supposed to jump around and shout and go forward and raise our hands. You're absolutely right. But not with emptiness. And it's not just for one service. And it's not to stroke the preacher's ego. This is about the principles of the gospel, the principles of God. What if our faith increased? What if we shouted a little louder? What if we tarried a little longer? What if I gave away a little conveniences for the pursuit of God, to look for an opportunity that they might bring into my life? And we use noble things. When we start to, you know, feel convicted about the small things and conquer those, we start to feel noble about some other things. Like, well, you know, I do have to be responsible at my job, and I do have family, and I do have children, and I do have this, and I do have that. And so we start to put off God for all these other noble things that seem right. And what it does is we misuse those noble things to insulate our life from pursuing God, to keep us from shouting. They are noble things. You better care for your children, and you better be responsible on the job. But don't start to misuse those things to your personal advantage, to insulate yourself like you're doing something holy, just to keep you from shouting out to God and pursuing God and looking for God. You hear it straight this morning from His Word. We're praying for a season of God's visitation, that He could do things outside of the box of my mind, and outside the box of the things I think I have so figured out. To do things outside the box of which I was raised and which I have tasted of before. And some truths that I heard that I've assumed are true. That were completely pure gospel. Say, I'm really willing to come into agreement with you. I need a season of your visitation. Or we just sit still. Let them pass by again and say, oh, I was there when Jesus passed by. I was in church this morning when His presence was there. What's it going to take for you to be moved by God's Spirit, by God's presence, by His Word, by His conviction? What will it take? If you're here this morning and don't know the Lord, you don't have a personal faith in Him, this message may seem a little strange to you. Well, understand that this message wasn't necessarily designed just for you this morning. It's for those of us who call ourselves Christians. But if you're in this room this morning and you're not assured of your relationship with the Lord, I want you to know that this message of instruction and correction and encouragement and rebuke that was all blended into this morning, I want you to know this message isn't necessarily for you at this time in your life. The message for you this morning is about God's grace and God's forgiveness, and that He's kind to blind people. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, not physically for me, but spiritually. What draws people to God is His kindness. What drew us to repentance was that there was an opportunity to be forgiven. That God is full of grace and He's full of mercy. And He wants to save us. Regardless of what you've heard before, or what Christian has hurt you, or what church has disappointed you, or what pastor has hurt you. If it would all go away and you could just say, you know what, I just want to know the Jesus, the Son of God, the Jesus of the gospel. You find out that He's a friend of sinners. And I'll tell you what, that's what moved me in. You mean you love somebody like me? You'll love somebody like me? You'll forgive me? You died for me. Not just for the whole world, you died for me. You took my sins, my failures, my brokenness upon yourself. You paid for the price of those things so that I could be forgiven of them. Oh, Jesus, then count me in. You can make me clean again? Because I can't go anywhere else for that. Medications might change some of my symptoms and some of my moods, but it doesn't solve the issues in my heart. I can't go anywhere else for that. And you can solve the issues in my heart. I'll say yes to you. So why don't we do this? Why don't we bow our heads all over this room? Whether you're here all the time or you're visiting, you're here and you say, you know, I'm not so confident in my relationship with God. I'm not so sure that my sins are forgiven. And I'm not so sure that I consider myself to be a follower of Jesus. But I would like to start today. And if God will forgive me like that, then I'll put faith in Him. That I will follow Him along the road. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, that's me, I desire forgiveness of my sins. I admit that I've sinned against God. I want forgiveness. And I want to learn to follow Him along the road of life. I'll put my faith in Him. If that's you, you just slip up your hand so I can see it, because I'm going to pray for you. Not personally, I'm just going to pray for all of you who raise your hands from the front here. So if that's you, just slip your hand up. Say, you know, include me in that prayer. Just slip your hand up, put it down. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. 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 Anybody else? Just say, you know what, that's me. You just slip your hand up and put it down. I want to include you in this prayer. One more quick opportunity just before I pray. Yes. Father, yes, I saw your hand. Father, thanks. Thanks so much that you have the ability and the character and virtue to forgive. For those who raise their hands in this room this morning, it was kind of like calling out to you, saying, Jesus, my need isn't to have physical sight. It's that I need forgiveness. So would you forgive them of their sin? Oh, by the blood of Jesus. And that you would draw them now by your Holy Spirit to follow you, your word, your ways along the road. Let them know the depths of their heart that they're forgiven, that they're clean, that they belong to you. Help them make good on this act of grace and mercy that you have given to them today. Help me to do that. Help all of us to do that. And now, Lord, as we begin to praise you and worship you in this room, help us to show expressions of faith, not just today, but let it be a new start here at New Life. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.